Ouija boards over the years have been very controversial. Some people think it's a method to speak to the devil, while others think it's a more personal way to connect with their ancestors. Ouija boards were actually made in China back in 1100 AD, and at first was called the planchette writing board, and was more used in a ritualistic sense until people from France and the United States stole the idea and made it their own. Specifically, people in the United States would make it into this big money production, sort of like a magic show, where the entire streets were just one big Ouija board and people would pay to ask questions to the writing board. And it was a huge mystery because the planchette that was on the ground would mysteriously move on its own. And back then, it was surprisingly not much of a taboo until scammers stole the Ouija board idea and decided to make it into a smaller board, very similar to what we have today. And these scammers would invite people for one-on-one sessions to have their questions answered. But unfortunately, since all these people wanted was money, they would lie or tell them things like they're gonna die soon. And then when they didn't die soon, the people went back and said that it was just the devil talking to them, and thus came around the taboo of Ouija boards. But despite the historical taboo of Ouija boards and the very 50-50 opinions about it, even to this day in modern times, people still use it. And even to this day, there are people who frequently use Ouija boards on a daily basis, including 58-year-old Donald Hertung back in 2015. Located in the beautiful waters of Pensacola, Florida, lived the Smith family, who included 76-year-old Van Sil Smith, who lived with her two fully grown sons, 47-year-old John and 49-year-old Richard. Van Sil actually had another son named Donald Hertung, who was her oldest son. Donald had a different dad, but he didn't live with the family of Van Sil, John, and Richard, and he instead lived in his own home down the street. Richard worked in Homeland Security while John worked at a local Walmart, and Donald was a security officer at a hospital. And on Friday, July 31st, on this specific day, it was a blue moon. And for those who don't know, a blue moon is when we get two full moons in one month. And although the actual moon itself is not blue, it's just an expression used because usually full moons come once a month after the moon's cycle. But in the late mornings of July 31st, the local police were called to the home of 4605 Deerfield Drive, which was the Smith family home. The police were stopping by because one of Richard's co-workers that he worked with at his Homeland Security office told police Richard hadn't shown up to work in a couple of days and they haven't heard or seen from him. His co-workers were worried because Richard was actually on some pretty high-profile security projects and they were scared that something might have happened to him. The police go to his home to do a welfare check, and in the driveway they saw Richard and Van Sil's car, so it seemed like both people were home. And John didn't have a car, so his mother would drive him to work every day because Van Sil would describe John as, quote, a little slow. And that's why Richard still lived at home, and he would be looking after and providing for his mom and younger brother. The police showed up to the home and knocked on the door, but when they got no answer, they went inside anyways. The police looked around the home and it was an absolute mess. The home was cluttered, it was hot, it had a strong odor, and had piles and piles of clothes all over the home. They at first thought that maybe Van Sil was just a hoarder and did not keep a tidy home. That was until, as one of the officers were looking around, they saw a foot poking out from under one of the piles of clothing. The police would then start to look under all the piles of clothes and find the bodies of Van Sil, Richard, and John. All of them had blunt force trauma to the head, their throats were slit open, and Richard was the only one with a gunshot wound to his head, entering through his left ear and exiting through the back of his neck. There was no signs of forced entry, only the back gate was open, and it was not a robbery because they looked around and they found nothing stolen, and there was even a safe that included thousands of dollars inside of it, to which it was not stolen. Now, the place was a mess to begin with. They found a bunch of old bills, stacks of papers, and random items piled all over the place, and it even took police a couple of days to look through all of the chaos. And as they talked to neighbors, they found out that the Smith family was a very average, quiet family. The family was very reclusive. None of the sons were married or had kids. they didn't get out much, and after Vansil's husband passed away, she hadn't left the house since then. But one thing the police could promise was that this was not a random killing. Upon doing further investigation, the police said that they believed this was a ritualistic killing. All of the bodies had blunt force trauma to the head as if they were being snuck up on and then slit throats to confirm their death. The killer had positioned their bodies as if they were going to perform a ritual, and the family also passed away on the blue moon. Now, when the story came out, the idea of witchcraft and witches came about. A lot of people were blaming witchcraft as a reason for this killing, and this obviously gave the witches a very bad representation. So there were a lot of witches that came out on the news and in articles to defend themselves. Everyone views witches or people that experiment in witchcraft as dark people who only use their talents for bad, but in fact, there are a lot of quote-unquote witches that perform things such as healing rituals and use natural medicines, and there's also a thing such as green witches that specifically work with the magic of good and not evil, and all of their spells and things like that are used with natural substances, such as natural plants and natural spices. There were a lot of witches that got on the news that were saying they do not support human sacrifice rituals, and those who participate in them are not witches. They are just cold-blooded murderers that are using witchcraft as an excuse for their actions. Now, at this point, the police had no other choice than to speak with the last alive member of the family, which was Donald. Donald lived by himself and worked 3 to 11 p.m. every day. Donald actually did have a wife previously, and he did have a son with that wife, but unfortunately, him and his wife got into a pretty messy divorce that ended up with his wife winning full custody over their son, and Donald later lost all contact with the both of them. As far as Donald's relationship with his personal family, Vansil, John, and Richard, Donald said that he was pretty close with his family. He went over to the family home every Tuesday and cooked all of them a big dinner. Donald absolutely loved John, and whatever John wanted to eat, he would get. And so on July 28th, Tuesday, the day before the murder, this Tuesday was no different. Donald came over to the family home and cooked all of them dinner. Donald said that he brought his dog over that day and they went out for a run before coming back to the home to cook dinner for the family. John had helped Donald cook the dinner, and they made fried chicken, corn, green beans, biscuits, and french fries. Donald told police that he made dinner for the family, and then the family ate the dinner, and then shortly after dinner, he left the home around 8 p.m. to go home with his dog. He said the last time he saw his family, they were happy and dandy, and nothing really seemed to be off. Now, this was a little bit suspicious, considering Donald was the last person to see the family. The police actually brought Donald in the same day that the bodies were found, and when Donald was told that his family was dead, he seemed very monotone about it, and whatever the interrogator told Donald, Donald would just repeat it back to him, such as the detective at one point said to Donald, quote, "Did anyone tell you your family was killed?" And Donald replied with, quote, "Killed." And then the detective said, quote, "It looked like they were shot." Donald replies with, "Shot." The interrogator says, quote, "It's hard to tell because there were a lot of clothes on top of them." And Donald replies, quote, "Clothes on top of them?" And that was an actual quote-unquote conversation that they had. And so as you can see, he's just acting really, really weird to the news of his entire family being murdered. And so that's when the interrogator starts asking, well, if you claim to not know anything and you claim to not have done anything, then do you know of anybody that could have done this? But Donald remains very calm the entire time, and he says that there's no one he can think of, and the interrogator just asks Donald straight up if he killed his family after they ate dinner on Tuesday. And all Donald says is, "What? Me? Why would I kill my mother and brothers? I have no reason to do that." Very, very suspicious. He was acting extremely defensive, and he was also showing absolutely no emotion to the news of his whole family being murdered. And at one point, the interrogator actually calls out Donald and straight up tells him, "I believe you killed your family because this is supposedly the first time you're finding out your whole family is dead, and you're sitting here with no emotion, no shock, no nothing." So it kind of seems like you already knew this information before I told you. But Donald becomes extremely defensive and he says, quote, I'll show plenty of emotion when the time's right. I knew nothing about this. This is the first time I've heard about any of this. Which is kind of an off response, but Donald throughout the interrogation continues to repeat that he does indeed have emotions and gets defensive when the interrogator starts questioning him. Donald goes on to say that it's not fair that he's just sitting there being accused for something so brutal that he didn't do while the real killer is out there and might be coming for him next. And mind you, the whole time Donald is sitting here in this room saying all this with his whole chest, the police are back at Donald's home with a search warrant finding a sea full of extremely incriminating evidence. While the police are back searching Donald's home, they end up finding a lot of satanic and ritualistic items such as black rocks with pentagrams on them, demonology books, switchblades with engraved satanic symbols and wording on them, a Ouija board that was surrounded by three burnt white candles, and a witch's tarot with a witchcraft book. But although they did find a lot of ritualistic things, there was nothing specific that connected to him to the crime. Yes, he was interested in witchcraft, and they do believe that the murder had something to do with witchcraft. They couldn't really connect the two together. All they were looking at was a similar interest. And so due to the lack of evidence, they unfortunately had to let Donald go. But while Donald was out and about, the police decided to interview Donald's peers. A lot of Donald's friends would go on to say that Donald would refer to himself as quote unquote a Wiccan. His friends would say that Donald often engaged in witchcraft and he had a huge interest in the dead and the Illuminati. So after a couple days of interviewing his peers, the police have Donald in for a second interview. And when the police ask him about all the ritualistic stuff they found in his home, such as the Ouija board, Donald didn't deny it. And he even claimed himself and said, yes, I am a Wiccan and I've been doing this for about 3 years. He says that he mostly practices the pagan religion. And when he was explaining the pagan religion, he basically just said that it was a religion relating to nature. He completely dodged the fact that the whole religion has to do with Satanism and the devil. He just speeds past that and says that it's all about nature. And so the interrogator asked Donald if his religion has anything to do with moon phases. And Donald says, quote, yes, it has a lot to do with the moon phases. So that's when the interrogator asks if the religion supports rituals or ceremonies. And quite immediately, Donald damn near cuts this man off and says, no, Wiccans have nothing to do with sacrifices. Which, mind you, the interrogator said nothing about sacrifices. All he said was rituals and ceremonies. But due to Donald's very specific wording, once again, the interrogator, even though in this specific interrogation, they actually had two interrogators instead of one, they were still unable to crack Donald and figure out what actually went on. So they had no choice but to just let him go. A whole 2 months went by. In September of 2015, Donald was still free and out and about. That was until 3 months after the murder in late October, close to Halloween, Donald was finally arrested. Donald was arrested with 3 counts of premeditated murder because his DNA was found all over the crime scene. But Donald's excuse for all of this was, obviously my DNA would be there. I went there all the time. I was there every Tuesday, so of course my DNA would be at the home. But the weird part was that Donald's DNA was found in places that his DNA should not have been, such as his DNA being found on Richard's belt, Richard's checkbook, and there were also bloody items in the trash can with his DNA on it, as well as 3 cigarette buds, all with his DNA on it. So it's suspected that Donald killed his family, threw everything away in the trash, and then smoked a cigarette afterwards, without even taking the garbage out afterwards. And so Donald was then arrested and was put in jail whilst awaiting trial. And then in February of 2020, 4 years after the crime, Donald's trial began. And at the trial, there were a lot of dark secrets that would come out about the family and the real relationship between Donald and his family. As I said earlier, Donald claims that he had a really close relationship with his family. He loved his little brother, John, he loved Richard, and he loved his mom. And they all had a super close relationship where he would come over every Tuesday and hang out with John on and cook dinner for them. But at the trial, it would be known that all of that was literally a lie. He had a terrible relationship with his family. At the trial, it was made known that Van Sill had a will of $900,000 and she only listed her two sons, Richard and John, as her beneficiaries and specifically wrote in her will that she does not want Donald receiving a thing. And the only way that Donald would receive anything is if both of his brothers died. As I said earlier, Donald had a son with his ex-wife, and his son's name was Donald Jr. And Donald Jr. actually came to the trial and told a story of when Donald Jr. was 4 years old, his uncle, John, aka Donald's brother John, had exposed himself to 4-year-old Donald Jr. Donald Jr. told his dad about this, and Donald grew furious, and he confronted Van Sill about it, and Van Sill took the side of John. She said to give John a break and that he didn't know any better because he was quote unquote special. Now, Donald did not take this as an excuse because Donald felt that his child was now traumatized for the rest of his life and his mother wasn't really showing as much care as he hoped for. And so because of this incident, that put a huge strain on the family and their relationship would change from then onward. After this, it was constant back and forth fighting until one day Van Sill had told Donald that both him and his son Donald Jr. were no longer in her will. And Van Sill would write in her will saying, quote, I hereby give, devise, and bequeath to my husband, Richard A. Smith, providing he will survive me. But if he does not survive me, then an equal share to my two sons, Richard Thomas Smith and John William Smith, to be theirs absolutely. I intentionally make no provision herein to the benefit of my son, Donald Wayne Hertung, nor his son, Donald Hertung Jr. Not for the lack of love or affection, but because he has sufficient assets of his own. And so reading this obviously made Donald extremely angry. The fact that Van Sill literally said in her will that she does not want Donald or Donald Jr. to receive anything. And so it was then, about 3 years before the murder, that Donald started to plan how he would murder his family. Donald knew that he couldn't just murder Van Sill because then the benefits of her will would go on to John and Richard, and so in order for him to receive anything, he would have to kill the whole family. During this time, Donald had coined the name the Blue Moon Killer, or the Witchcraft Killer. And while Donald was awaiting trial in jail for 4 years, he actually grew friends with a fellow inmate named Marilyn Peary Foy, and Marilyn would actually show up to Donald's trial and testify against him. Marilyn told the jury that Donald had admitted to him in jail, saying that he killed his family because, quote, he was scared of them. He wanted the money because she left him out of the will. And Donald would actually open up to Marilyn a little bit and give a little bit more details about his crime, saying that the night he committed it, he sought some advice beforehand from a Ouija board. Donald told Marilyn that he asked the Ouija board that night if he should do it, and the Ouija board said yes, because it's a demon, so of course, why wouldn't they be on board with murder and destruction? Donald had also told Marilyn that he had been planning this murder for 3 to 4 years, but the Ouija board saying that he should go for it was the push that he needed to actually pursue it. As I said, Richard was in Homeland Security, and so he had the entire house fully surveillance, to which all of those cameras were found in the trash in the kitchen. And since Donald never threw away the trash before he left, they took out the surveillance cameras, and upon review, you can literally see Donald going around the home and disconnecting all of the security cameras. And it wouldn't be until at the trial where the full story of what happened that night would actually come out. On the Tuesday of July 27th, the day before the family was found murdered, it was true that Donald came over every Tuesday to make dinner for his family. He began coming over every Tuesday for the past 2 years because, in his words, he wanted to create a better relationship with his family, but in reality, he was just trying to gain trust of the family family and also gain access to the home. On the specific day of July 27th, he came over and made dinner for the family. He did in fact go on a run with his dog, and then afterwards he came home and John helped him make dinner. He made everyone's plates and he left all of the leftovers from the dinner in the oven. When they all got done eating, Donald did the dishes, and when he was done with the dishes, he walked over to the living room where John was sitting on the couch watching TV. Donald then snuck up behind John, hit him over the head with a hammer, and then cut his throat. After killing John, Donald walked over to his mother's room upstairs, where he put a gun to her head, demanding the safe's code. Van Sill had a safe in her room that had thousands of dollars in it, and that was the code that Donald was demanding, but Van Sill was not giving it up. She was not going to give him the code, and so because of this, Donald had performed methods of torture on Van Sill. He then cut off Van Sill's pinky finger until she would tell him what the code was, and even then, she would not tell him what the code was. And so this led Donald to hit Van Sill over the head with a hammer and cut her throat. At the time, it was just John and Van Sill at the home because Richard was out at work still, and so Donald had waited by the back door for Richard to come home. And as soon as Richard came through the back door, Donald had shot him, but the shot actually missed Richard. Richard then lunged at Donald and tried to take the gun away, but Donald was able to pull out his knife and cut Richard's throat as well. Donald then went through the home and covered all the dead bodies with piles of clothes, and then he turned up the heat on max in the home in hopes of making it hard for the police to determine the time of death of the bodies. Now, Donald's defense team was not denying that Donald did it. They were just more trying to go for a mistrial. They tried to say that the inmate that came forward, Marilyn, was not credible because what did he know? He could have lied. His defense team also said that since the bodies were so warm, the police couldn't really determine the time of death, and they're just saying that they determined that the family had died while Donald was there as a way to make Donald look bad. They also said that Donald's DNA being found around the home was also not credible because he went to the home every Tuesday and was very close with his brothers. But the jury, thankfully, did not agree with the defense team, and the court ended up finding him guilty for the murder of his family. Donald took the stand, and he did not show any remorse or confess, but instead, he says that he was disappointed with the modern legal system. He said that his representation was not proper and said, quote, "I love my jury. They paid attention. They paid close attention. But Your Honor, they were duped. You were duped. I was duped and I was tricked, and I'm willing to admit it, and so were you." So basically, Donald was saying that everyone was lying and that's why he's going to jail even though he didn't do anything. But all in all, Donald ended up getting 3 life sentences, aka life in prison. And as for today in 2024, he is still imprisoned at the Graceville Correctional Facility in Jackson County, Florida. While this case was getting a lot of media attention, the witchcraft angle was really projected onto this case, but it turns out the witchcraft had little to do with it. The only witchcraft connection to this case was that Donald had asked a Ouija board before actually killing his family, and the Ouija board confirming it that he should kill his family was the push and motivation that he needed to actually do it. But other than that, he wasn't trying to perform a human sacrifice with his family. He simply was just using witchcraft as an excuse as to why he could kill his family. He, at the end of the day, was truly just a greedy man that wanted money and would do anything he could to get it. And yeah, that is the end of today's case. If you guys found this case interesting, make sure to give it a thumbs up and subscribe if you are on YouTube, or if you are on Spotify, Apple, wherever you can find podcasts, make sure to rate it 5 stars because that really helps me out a lot. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your day today. Make sure to be safe out there. Get outside today if you can. Make sure to drink some water. Stay hydrated today. And as always, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I will see you guys next week. Bye.